we're concluding our look at repentance from dead works. We've just talked about the fact that we must not occupy ourselves with works that do not produce for the kingdom of God. Everything we do should be for the Lord's glory, right? Should be, we should be working towards production. We should be producing fruit. The just shall live by faith. Faith must be accompanied by a corresponding action. I'm looking at the conclusion. Works are only profitable when they are stimulated by faith. So just as we repented from sin and changed our direction, we must also repent from the unfruitful way of life that comes as a result of works for the sake of works. One who does good works may not always do right, but one who does right will always do good works. So that concludes our look at repentance from dead works. Now keep in mind that we're talking about the doctrine of Christ. And then when we look at this study, there are six foundational teachings that are considered to be the milk of the Word. We've talked about repentance from dead works. We're getting ready to move into a discussion about faith toward God. Then we'll move right into the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So if you're in your study guide, look with me, please, on page 6. And I want to draw your attention back to our anchor scriptures for this study. Take a look at your study guide and look with me, please, at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, depart from the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Go on to maturity. So do you understand he's telling us to depart from these principles because Paul's assuming that we have them established well within us so that we're ready to stop consuming milk and start eating some meat. He tells us, do not lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. As newborn babes, this is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word so that by it you may develop in regard to salvation. Now, when we think about faith toward God, let's take a look at the theme of this study here. Victory comes as a result of exercising faith toward God. We mentioned last session, but it certainly bears repeating, all of the benefits and the gifts that we receive from the Lord come as a result of faith. You know, Jesus tells us that we're overcomers, but we are only overcomers if we have faith in Him and believe that His work actually overcame. And that He was the one that won. And if we're identified with Him and one with Him, then we're an overcomer. But that comes through faith. We must be certain that our faith is directed toward God. Faith is the heartbeat of the believer's life. When you think about faith, we can have faith in the systems of the world. And a lot of people do. I know in my profession, there are an awful lot of people that I spend a great deal of time with that all of their faith is in the system that man has created. They're hanging their hat on it, so to speak. And they're deceived because that system's going to pass away. Now, look at that last sentence again with me. Faith is the heartbeat of the believer's life. It's a heart issue, isn't it? You know, you can think about the natural. and people can have medical heart issues. And that leads to all kinds of trouble, doesn't it, in the natural. We saw it with our dad. And we saw how detrimental it is when the heart doesn't function properly. Well, you can look at the same, you can draw parallels from that in with the spiritual, you understand. We do damage to ourselves when our heart's not towards God because we work against ourselves. The believer should have faith in God. You know, that kind of, I stopped and looked at that and spent some time, and I almost chuckled to myself. Because you take the word believer, and a lot of times we take for granted. People will say, yes, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Well, they believe in the person, and that's where it ends. But in Mark 11:22, Jesus himself tells us to have faith in God. Be fully persuaded. Be fully persuaded in who he is. We know that faith comes by hearing. Therefore, it is vital that the believer keep a keen ear toward God. You think about that, keeping a keen ear towards God. Have you ever been in a room, or let me just call it like it is. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and you nod your head and they think you're listening and you hadn't heard a word they said? You've just tuned out thinking about something else. Wasn't it a shame that we do that to the Lord every single day?
You know, if you, in light of this, the keen hearing of God, if you're listening, subjecting yourself to things of the world, then your ear's not keen toward the Lord. This is a real key. What we should be listening to is the Scriptures, to the Holy Spirit. The more you subject yourself with worldly information coming out of the world, the duller your hearing will be toward God. You're listening to this, you're not going to hear God. You follow me? And this is more profound than anybody realizes, because it seems that in this day and age, people are so inundated with news, whether it's coming through TV, whether it's coming through internet, whether it's coming through the mouth of people, whether it's coming through iPhones or however, accessing all this stuff. When you start looking at that stuff, you're dulling your hearing as far as your hearing toward God. Because those things, as innocent as it may be, those things get in you.
Mm-hmm.
And hours later or days later, you're hearing those things.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't understand the spiritual principle involved in all this. If you're going to hear God speak, then you're going to have to shut out the mouth of the world and refuse to listen to the stuff. And people call you weird, they call you crazy. You know, I've had them to say, well, how do you get informed? Well, by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And there's enough people out here running their mouth about the world, if you're going to know anyway. You with me? But I'm doing my best to stop listening to the things of the world, because I realize that it dulls my hearing. And if I can get by myself, which I like to do a lot, just get by myself and shut out any kind of conversation in the world. I don't care what it's about. But let me hear God. Let me hear God. But if I'm entertaining all this other stuff, that's what's going to come to me. And when I get up in the morning or when I walk by the way, I'm going to be hearing this garbage instead of hearing the Lord. And so we say that when we're talking about keeping a keen ear to the Lord, that's a discipline to where you shut the other stuff out so you can hear the Lord. And that won't make you popular with people.
No, and as Pete was talking, I was thinking about all the distractions that are around us. And distractions distract. And if you divert your attention, it's hard to hear, isn't it? If I were talking to Kenzie and my attention were diverted and I started paying attention to Lynn, I'm not going to hear what Kenzie has to say. Well, we treat the Lord as the exact same way. When you get diverted, you can't hear. And when you don't hear, you're missing out. Not only are you missing out, but potentially somebody else is missing out. Because he might need you to do something.
You know, a lot of things that I hear said, people, they may say it in church or in some setting, you know, they're speaking out of their heart, but it's not God. What they're speaking out is what they've been subjected to. Not motivated by the Holy Spirit, but motivated by situations, circumstances, or whatever. And it amazes me how many people in the audience think God's speaking. Well, it's not God speaking at all. It's just somebody speaking out of the heart because they've been subjected to this, that, or the other. And I'm telling you, when we come into a sacred assembly, we need to emphasize the word sacred. It's a place for God to talk. It's a place to listen to the Lord. You with me? Not listening to all this other stuff, not drawing off of this, that, and the other. You know, someone said something to me Sunday about I should have said something about a situation. I said, no, I'm not interested in giving news that's not good news. This is not a social organization. We're not a bulletin board. You understand? Bad news travels like wildfire. Well, I'm not interested in spreading fire. Not that kind of fire, not wildfire. And so I say, no, that's not, the sanctuary is not the place to be doing that. And people don't understand that because it's a tradition. You follow me? I mean, how many churches start to think out, well, who's had a birthday this week? And who's had an anniversary this week? And who's it? All that is things of the world, and you're taking God's time. And I'll assure you that He doesn't appreciate it. When we come together as an assembly, we should be coming together with God on our mind, not everybody else. Is that too hard for you? I'm going to tell you the only way you're going to hear God is to make up your mind you're going to stop listening to the other stuff and you're going to start listening to God. And if people don't like it, then they just, that's their problem. But I don't want people to influence me away from God.
Now think about our topic here and people moving you away from God and you us allowing that to happen. The believer should believe in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. And He said that, you know, religious people heard that because their faith was in their lineage, in their heritage, in their tradition, in their religion. And He's telling us, have faith toward God. He's telling us that because we need to hear that. Obviously, He knew that would be an issue. You look at, when you just look in the Old Testament, we were reading about a man named Micah, who's not the prophet. He had his...
A Levite.
He was a Levite. He had the Levite priest. But he had his faith in his little god that he made out of silver. Well, you know, we can laugh at that, but there are all kinds of little gods around us that we tend to put our faith in. We put our faith in money. We put our faith in the system of education in the United States. And those become gods. So, when Jesus is saying, have faith in God, be fully persuaded in God. Don't be fully persuaded in the stock market. Don't be fully persuaded in your retirement package that you're working towards. Be fully persuaded in God and what He's told you. Pete uses the statement, that's more profound than you think. He says that often because so many profound things come out of his mouth that the Spirit has told him. But there's a lesson here for us. Who are we fully persuaded in? I know that's not grammatically correct. But what's dominating your heart? Because stuff can dominate your heart. Is religion dominating your heart? Who is dominating your heart? Is Jesus dominating your heart? Are you fully persuaded in all that He's accomplished for you? Are you fully persuaded that you are the apple of His eye? And when we have that realization, and we have that revelation, well, there's going to be corresponding action, won't there? Because faith's involved. So faith is actually fruit produced by the Spirit. When you think about production. Production requires unity, right? Even in the natural, to reproduce, you have to have unity. So, for us to produce the fruit of the Spirit means we need to be in union with the Holy Spirit. Well, that's very intimate, isn't it? When you're in union with somebody, you think about just in the natural. Fellowship precedes the union. And with fellowship leads to intimacy. And with intimacy leads to the union. And with the union, then you have production. So, if we don't have faith, and I've talked to the Lord about this, I know the issue's not with Him. I know He's always able to produce. The question I ask myself, am I in union with You? Because you see, I can pull back. You can pull back. You can go into hiding. You can say, not today. I'm going to do this by myself. But when we think about faith, faith is produced by the Spirit. For this reason, it is most important for believers to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. I know we've talked about that, and that's a whole different study. But when you walk according to the Spirit, you're listening to what the Lord's telling you. You're not listening to what you want or what you think is best. And that comes with union. We've got this beautiful piece of art right here hanging on the wall that tells us the fruit of the Spirit. And on every one of those puzzle pieces, you see the Holy Spirit's name. And do you notice these puzzle pieces when you look? They're united. None of them are separate. They're joined together. That's how the fruit's produced, you understand? Well, faith is fruit of the Spirit. So what I glean from this with my simple mind is, I need to be united with the Lord if I want to produce. Because when I'm really united with Him, when I'm intimate with Him, I'm going to be listening to the one that I love because I want to hear from Him. So He's going to be speaking to me. And we know faith comes by hearing. You see how it all works together. But the bottom line is, there has to be fellowship, and more than fellowship, an intimate relationship. Now, we can't be saved without faith. You can find this scripture reference in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. We're told we're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift. We're also justified by faith.
I want to talk to you a minute about saved by faith. How does a person get saved? In Romans, the 10th chapter, he says, how can you believe in somebody that you've never heard about? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then how can you hear about them if someone doesn't tell you? That can be verbally. That can be through a book. You're reading someone's book. But what you're hearing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You with me? And how many of you know Jesus is God? Okay. And so to get saved, to get born again, where's your faith toward? Is it not toward God? In other words, you have your attention on Him. And because you have your attention on Him, your heart's being stirred on the inside of you, and you believe that if I will believe what that message I've heard about Jesus and His resurrection, the redemption, you understand? And I will acknowledge that, I'll be saved. What is that? Faith toward God. You follow me? And so when we say that salvation comes by faith, it's a faith that has its attention on God. God, I believe in You. I believe Your Word. I believe what You say Jesus did. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because I believe in Him, I'm accepting Him. I believe Your Word so much that I'm going to do what Your Word says. And I'm going to bet my eternal life on it. That's not a good word. I'll stake my eternal life. We're not supposed to be betting, right? I'll stake my eternal life on You. And so the rest of my life, I'm going to have my faith directed in Jesus saved me. Jesus saved me. If you don't, you know, the next day you may not feel saved.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can be talked out of things, but if you keep your mind on God, it's not how I feel, it's what I believe. Because I'm going to keep my faith toward God. I'm not going to move from God. God said it, I'm going to believe it. This is what we mean by faith toward God. You understand? A lot of people have their faith in, I made a confession. I made a commitment. I say I made a commitment, they're just not committed. It's amazing, you know, the little commitment cards and handout and all that. But you watch a person's life, they're not committed to God, they're committed to themselves. They're doing what they want to do, and occasionally they'll tip their hat to God. I'll give you a little bit of my time, but don't you dare ask for all my time. I'll give you a little bit of my life, but don't you tell me to give you all my life. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
But salvation comes by staying focused on God. So does everything else. Anything you get from God is a gift, and you receive that gift by faith. But you're looking for that gift to come from God, so you stay focused on God. Your faith's toward God. Have faith in God. And if you have faith in God, you can say to the mountain. Or when you pray, you believe. And you know it's going to happen because God can't fail and you're not moving off of Him. You can keep your focus on Him. I'm going to stay toward Him. I'm not going to look toward the circumstances. I'm not going to look toward people or objects. You understand? My faith's in God. And I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, I've got my faith out on this. No, faith in God. Your faith toward God, not your faith toward an object. Not your faith toward a situation. Well, I believe God just going to give me that house. Well, I believe God just going to give me that car. Well, where's your faith? Toward God or in the car? In the house. It's amazing how many people use scripture vernacular, but they're operating in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
They want to use the Word of God for the natural. In other words, James calls it this, consuming on your own flesh. You have not because you ask not, you ask and receive not. Why don't you receive? Because all you want to do is consume it on yourself. You're looking at the natural man. Keep your faith toward God. Walk in the Spirit. Don't think naturally. Think spiritually. Faith is spiritual, not natural. It comes out of the very heart of man, spiritual thing. Not coming out of the head, but out of the heart. Okay?
Thank you. I was, as you were speaking, and you were talking about receiving salvation from the Lord, I kept thinking about receiving the Holy Spirit.
Same way.
It is the same. It is the exact same. But when we talk about the Holy Spirit so many times, not just the Holy Spirit, people won't have a tendency to want to base their faith in what they can see and what they can touch and what they can feel. And so the gifts they receive from the Lord, they'll base it on their feelings. Well, you said I received the Holy Spirit, but I don't feel any different. I don't feel anything. Well, we've already missed it, haven't we?
Well, you know, she brought up a good point. Because especially in certain denominations, like the one I grew up in, when they teach about them baptizing the Holy Spirit, but all their emphasis is on tongues, and so a person that goes to receive the Holy Spirit, they're not looking at the Holy Spirit, they're looking to receive tongues. You're looking at the byproduct, not the product. And the language is just a byproduct. You receive the person. Now, if you do what Luke 11 tells you to do, if you've been evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The Holy Spirit's a gift, just like Jesus is a gift. How do you receive a gift? You receive it. You don't work for it. You don't deserve it. You just accept it. It's the same way with the Holy Spirit. You don't work for the Holy Spirit. You accept the Holy Spirit. He's a gift, you understand? And so, how do you receive a gift? By faith. But note this, the Holy Spirit's God. So your faith toward God. Not by works. And so if I do what Luke 11 tells me, if I sincerely ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit, and I believe that the Lord will give me what I ask for, because it's His Word, then the appropriate thing to do would be just to thank you. Whether I speak in a language right then or not is really irrelevant. You may not. It'll come. And the reason a lot of people don't is because they're struggling with self-consciousness. They're struggling with pride. What will it sound like? What will people say? Well, I've heard this stuff's of the devil. Well, they said Jesus was casting out devils by the devil. Was that true? Of course not. And people said that the things of the Holy Spirit is of the devil. That's not true either. And so you have to cast down all these things and say, I asked the Lord, and now I have the Holy Spirit, so I'm going to act like I have the Holy Spirit, and I'm just going to start praying, and whatever comes up, comes up. And I'm not going to suppress it. And I'll tell you, if you'll keep that attitude, you'll find yourself speaking in other languages. It's just a matter of you getting your head, your flesh, the carnality, getting it under subjection. Well, I don't need to speak in tongues. Well, you're the very one that does, because you have a problem. You just told me you did. You're trying to run your life instead of being led by the Spirit of God. Yield to the Spirit by faith. So you accept by faith. Many years, I thought you had to be good enough. I mean, you get interrogated. You go to the altar and you want to receive the Holy Spirit. Wait, have you been saved? You've been sanctified? You smoke? You chew? You work in tobacco? Do you drink? All that's just work stuff. The only prerequisite to receiving the Holy Spirit is to receive the baptizer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you receive the baptizer, then you're a candidate to be baptized. But just as you have faith to receive the baptizer, you have to have faith to receive the baptism. You with me? Toward God. Toward God. Not listening to what denomination says. What does God say? Ask. Ask. Okay? Ask. God's more than willing, but we have to have our faith in Him. Well, I don't know if I received the Holy Spirit or not. I don't feel anything. It's not based on faith. Was salvation based on the feeling? Did you get saved because you felt like it? If you got saved because you felt like it, I didn't get saved. I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel any more than that thing right there. But I believed it. You with me? And we try to get people in this emotional arena. Boy, this is not emotional stuff. This is God said it, that's a fact. Will I believe the fact? Will I keep my faith toward God? If I'll keep my faith toward God, I'll get my feelings in line with God. And I won't be led by emotions. Be led by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. He said it. It has to be true. That's how I live my life. He said it. It has to be true. And you'd be surprised at how little I feel. But I've seen God do so much when there was no feeling there. People ask you to lay hands on them and you don't feel a thing. You just believe that the power of God's going to be released, and it is. You understand? By faith in God. Your faith directed toward God. You follow me? Okay. Time's about up. You got about 3 minutes. So
okay. Well,
we'll see what you can do in that time period.
Wrap it up, friends. We're going to stop. I do want us, when we come back, I want us to talk about the fact that we're justified by faith. That's a short, simple statement, but I want us to really think about that for a minute. I thank you for your time, and I thank you for your flexibility and your attention. It's greatly appreciated. All right.
Okay. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us, you make your face to shine upon us, you're gracious unto us, you lift up your countenance upon us, and you give us peace. So Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen?
Amen. And now, if you have a minute, we'd like to pray.
Let's just do that.